Raf.
No, 1 minute.
Sorry.
Give me a minute, mate. Jesus. Fucking hell. Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Raf.
James.
Bit of a sour note, I suppose, or a bit of a low note to start an episode on.
Mm-hmm.
I know people come in here looking for us to sort of get right into it. We're a pretty upbeat podcast, but, you know, a few things have come to light.
Mm-hmm.
Things that we need to address.
Yes.
Mea culpa, I suppose.
Okay.
Obviously, as listeners to the pod will know, Peter have been on our trail for a little while now.
Yes.
People for the ethical treatment of animals.
Yeah.
They've raised a few concerns about, I don't know, putting it lightly, how many monkeys die in the production of the average Damaran episode?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's not get into specific numbers per episode. It makes it a little bit real, but
people don't want to hear that kind of stuff. But
overall,
but I will say,
not all of them have been obviously killed. Some of them have taken their own life, which we can't take any responsibility for.
We're not monkey psychologists. Indeed, none or any of you.
No, it speaks to a broader issue in like monkey society, to be perfectly frank.
There's an issue in sort of ape society, and I'm not excluding humans from that.
You know, monkeys aren't apes. They're primates.
Primate society. But Peter do raise a good point that anything more than zero is a problem.
And yes, it is true that more than a number, and we're not going to go into specifics, but a number greater than zero of monkeys have died.
In the production of Downround.
Mm.
I don't want to be crass, but I think the sacrifice is worth it.
Yes, exactly, because it pushes mankind
forward. It's about propelling humankind into the future.
Yeah.
But I do concede that we could do better.
If an asteroid was coming towards Earth,
yeah,
it's not going to annihilate everyone, but it's going to take out a substantial... It's going to hit land, and you could kill 10,000 monkeys in order to save the asteroid hitting Earth.
Yeah.
Would you do it?
Without even a moment's hesitation. We're talking about Neuralink today.
Neuralink.
There's been a bit of buzz about Neuralink in the news recently. A bit of success, allegedly.
Mm.
They achieved one of the greatest aspirations of mankind, which is to let a paraplegic man play Civilization VI.
Good on him. I mean, it's not brain science.
it's not bloody brain surgery, right?
I want to, right at the very top, put a caveat out there that I'm not a neuroscientist.
No, and nor am I. But I don't think that being or not being a neuroscientist should preclude you from making expansive statements.
No, but what I would like to talk about is, in particular, the business model around Neuralink. But let's start with the facts.
All right, we'll start at the top. So if you don't know what Neuralink is, it's one of the constellation of companies that Elon Musk has started.
Mm.
Everything from Tesla, well, he didn't start it, but he's been a driving force behind it.
To SpaceX, well, he didn't start it, but he's been a driving force behind it. The Boring Company seems to have failed.
Yeah, Boring Company doesn't seem to be doing so well, but OpenAI did start it, hasn't really been super involved in its recent successes.
X didn't start it, but seems to be highly involved.
Well, there's a pattern, but the guy has his finger in a lot of pies, yeah. Let's just say. Neuralink was one of them. It started in 2016, and the idea was, as with many of Elon Musk's sort of moonshot ideas, is to create a brain-computer interface.
Mm.
And we'll get a little bit into what a brain-computer interface actually constitutes. BCI.
It's got an acronym now that if you're down at the pub and you're regaling people with like the latest, when someone's like, what's with this Neuralink thing and how many monkeys died? You can be like, the BCI.
Oh, yeah, the BCI. And they'll be like, what does that stand for? And then I'll be like, your shout, mate. You can end that conversation immediately. So the whole idea of Neuralink was to build a brain-computer interface that lets people... and when I say people, I mean a huge range of consumers because they want to commercialize this technology.
No, this is a private company that's looking to make a profit.
Yeah.
One day.
Be able to control your computer with your mind, basically.
Yeah.
You know, and in many ways, this is the dream of computer interfaces. Every sort of interface that exists in the world, be it computer and mouse, touchscreen, like game controller, whatever, exists because we can't actually just tell a computer what to do by thinking about it.
No.
It's, there are no computers which are an extension of our brain that simply react to what we want them to do.
This is true of most objects.
Most objects are like that. Yeah, exactly.
Footy, for example.
This coffee cup I'm drinking from.
Yeah.
You know, I can't just teleport the coffee from the machine into my mouth.
Mm. However, stomach. Your hand, you can. You can brain, like brain-brain interface.
The ultimate
brain-computer
interface. You know?
The thumb.
Absolutely. That was it. Everyone talks about, oh, the agricultural revolution, the industrial revolution, the information age. Hugest innovation we had nothing to do with, and that was growing a thumb. Two of them, actually. That was fucking huge.
Yeah, when one of our fingers was like, I'm off. I'm going to do my own thing. Our joint distant ancestor of all of us.
Was like, I'm just going to hang out over here, and I'm going to sort of support what everything else is doing.
Yeah, but I can also kind of do my own thing.
I can do my own thing.
From a different angle.
Yeah, you know, just you check this out and grabbing stuff.
And the women, it might have been a woman or the men, whichever one was like, that man or that woman, they've really got it. We're going to breed with you. And that's evolution, folks.
Did you see that guy downtown with the thumb?
He's calling his fifth finger a thumb.
He's actually a pretty cool guy once you get to know him.
I know that the whole thumb thing's a bit weird.
It is a
but
bit
like,
out,
when you think it about it, it's kind of interesting.
But I saw him pick up like a stick and I was sort of like, okay, I can see myself. I can see my descendants doing that.
I saw him peel a banana.
What? To a banana?
You ever seen the inside of a banana?
Ask him. He'll tell you. He'll show you. Anyway, so that was
Jesus. It. Anyway, yes.
That was the innovation. And then everything else has been clawing our way with our bethumbed hands towards controlling stuff with our brain. Brain-computer interfaces are not a new idea. They obviously weren't invented by Neuralink. It's a very academic sort of thing, but there's basically been BCI experimentation research examples since the 1960s.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a pretty old technology. And the fundamental is, and every innovation sort of comes down to this, you need to be able to read brain activity.
Yeah.
So like, you know, electrical pulses or whatever to detect what's going on in people's brains while they're working, whether it's, you know, with a big goofy helmet or with electrodes that are sort of directly implanted into the human brain, read the signals, sort of figure out what each signal corresponds to. Like if I'm looking at you and I'm thinking on, what synapses are firing when that's going on? Or if I'm thinking about, like, I don't know, an apple, I'm trying to visualize an apple, what is my brain doing? Figure out a relatively universal codex of brain signal responses. And then essentially create some sort of system which will translate those thoughts into actions in a computer system.
Yeah.
That's basically what BCIs are all about.
Yeah, yeah.
And the advancements over the past 40, 50, 60 years have been getting better signals from people's brains.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, interpreting those signals better. That's what the whole name of the game is.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is a fairly slow going and frustrating process.
Well, and incredibly expensive.
Very expensive to do. And also, we're not going to get into the myriad complications that come into this, but all sorts of different things like what one person's brain does in response to a certain thought or certain stimulus may be totally different to what another person's brain does.
Mm.
Or the way your brain responds to stimulus or acts in response to a certain thought may change over the course of your life. You got to account for people that have brain injuries and then their brains repair themselves around the injury to work differently. The human brain is very complex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's a living thing. To go, like, obviously we've now gone through the history of, you know, human evolution, but computer interfacing without the brain part, this is the funny thing, right? The mouse doesn't feel like the optimal way to interact with a computer. Like, it's abstracted, right? Like, you are, and again, when you were studying kind of computers, do a lot of Derrida, like you are the mouse. The cursor represents like an abstract version of yourself within this space,
totally.
Other space. Like your hand is disconnected. Like a touchscreen is way more intuitive than a mouse to interact with a computer. You know, you see an icon, you tap it. You tap things with your finger. That's more natural. A mouse is like this weird abstractified thing where if you move a hand down by your side to the right on a mouse pad, some people prefer glass. Some people like kind of velvety thing. Some mouses, you know, you don't even require a pad at all. regardless. And then a cursor moves in front of you in this weird like little screen thing.
Yeah, and this was one of the Xerox innovations that they came up with when they basically invented the graphical user interface at Xerox PARC. This is for the people who aren't up on their computer history, and you shouldn't be. Xerox in their PARC, P-A-R-C, which was like essentially their industrial park where they were figuring out a lot of early consumer computer stuff. They figured out the mouse and its relation to the graphic user interface. And yeah, like it's definitely not perfect because it was like one of the first things they figured out.
No, totally. But it actually is, you know, with regards to actually interfacing with a computer, with your phone, obviously you don't need a mouse because it's small, it's right in front of you, it's in your hands. But because like a monitor isn't in your hands, like we have every freaking PC laptop nowadays is touchscreen, like every Dell or whatever, but no one uses the touchscreen functionality because obviously having the thing in your hand is way more convenient than constantly reaching up and like touching and pushing things.
Plus the fact that like 40 years of computer design have like built themselves around the mouse. Mm. So even like Windows, even though they've added a whole bunch of touchscreen functionality, is still ultimately a mouse and cursor based operating system.
Yeah, but I mean the iPad Pro, you can plug it into a mouse.
You can, yeah. And then and at the end of the day, people find them, they needed to do that because there was an army of people who are trained on it.
I honestly think that it's annoying to keep touching the screen and dragging your finger around and swiping in front of yourself.
This was always the Steve Jobs reason why he didn't want to make a touchscreen Mac, which like sounds like dumb guy reasoning, but is actually true, which is that like reaching up to touch an iMac screen your arm will get tired doing that, and it will suck.
It does. As I said, like every Dell has a touchscreen. You just don't. Occasionally for scrolling, maybe, but for the most part, you don't use it because it's inconvenient. Now, that is also not to say, and we've talked about this before on Down Round, obviously, like the monitor is not necessarily the perfect way to interface with an actual computer, but it will be that way for a long time. Regardless, right now, what came out in the last few days is a video of a gentleman playing chess with his mind.
Yeah, Nolan Arbour. He's 29 years old, a patient who is paralyzed below the shoulder after a diving accident, played chess on his laptop and moved the cursor using the Neuralink device. So allowing basically him to move a cursor around, click on stuff, play chess and Civilization VI, allegedly, using just his mind.
Mm.
So obviously one of the big reasons people talk about brain-computer interfaces at all because Neuralink is not completely original in being able to do this.
Like, yeah, they're not the first.
This technology exists. Like for a long time, people have been able to move a mouse around and click on stuff, but it's not perfect. And you know, there's lots of noise in the interface. Mm. It's certainly not ready to be shipped out to a huge number of consumers. But the way that it gets talked about largely is if you can't use a touchscreen or a mouse, how do you interact with a computer?
Mm.
And there's lots of workarounds, voice commands, using like your eye movements in the way that like Stephen Hawking did towards the end of his life.
Mm.
He was using eye movements to control his voice synthesizer, that kind of stuff. But this is basically how it gets talked about. But Elon and the way that he's been going on about it with Neuralink and why he thinks it's so important is that, and you know, you can read it in what they literally call their first product, which they call telepathy in that very annoying cringe Elon way.
Mm.
But the idea being that any person should want to do this because it's far better than being stuck with this primitive mouse or touchscreen thing.
Yeah.
You should just be able to think of something and your computer will do it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess let's get to that because that's the point here is that, this kind of technology has been around in universities and whatnot for a long time. And I heard people pointing that out, like, people saying like this is some kind of new innovation. There is a difference, I guess, with Elon that his whole thing, like rockets had been around as well, but his whole thing is how do you actually like productize it, mass produce it, turn it into like a sustainable business that actually makes profit.
Yeah, and make it the default way that everyone uses their computer rather than just, you know, people who are unable to use a mouse or a touchscreen.
Well, yeah, that's what I was getting at. So with that in mind, obviously his target audience isn't just people who are paraplegics or don't have a use of their arms or whatever it is. He's not just thinking like my total addressable market is all paraplegics. He's thinking that this is one step on the way to one day us all controlling computers with our minds.
Yep.
Which, I mean, that's what I kind of want to get into. Because obviously from a business perspective, that's how you get a lot of investment. Because he's got investment from, you know, founders. He's got many of the big names, Founders Fund, etc. Like but, Peter Thiel's into it, but I mean, he's did everything.
Yeah, yeah. To be clear, the vast majority of the funding has come from him. He's he's put in over $100 million into Neuralink.
Mm.
But yeah, it is getting more.
There's more than half a billion in investment.
Yeah, they've done a few funding rounds with some major Silicon Valley funds. But yeah, I think it is definitely interesting.
But yeah, I mean, the big question for me is like, okay, say, let's assume. So right now it's like actual implants in the brain. You have to have surgery to get these little kind of smaller than a hair, little diode things put into your brain. Yeah.
Actually, we should clarify the difference here. Like I said, I kind of alluded to before, the original way that BCIs would work is like by doing an EEG, essentially, sitting down, putting electrodes on your head, sensing what your, like the signals, the electrical signals that are coming out of your brain are. But that's not that efficient.
Too much noise.
Too much noise. It's got to come through your skull. And some of us, not pointing fingers, pretty thick skulls.
Right.
You know? Big wall between the brain and the outside world. You know a few people like that, folks. so it wasn't actually a super efficient way to do it. Very noisy, et cetera, et cetera. The other way of doing it is basically cutting your skull open and whacking these electrodes or sensors or whatever directly onto the brain. Obviously, that's far better, but the vast majority of people are not going to want to do that. And one of Neuralink's original pitches, even though it is still surgical, is they want to make it less intrusive and create an easier surgical process so that, you know, someone could do this as basically not brain surgery.
No.
That you don't, like, we don't want a situation where someone's basically having 75% of a lobotomy so they can play Civilization VI with their brain.
No, we'd much rather it was... Like getting, you know,
just day surgery. Like getting
no, but just getting, you know, the lips fattened up. What's it called where you get the colic thing? Your cheeks made smaller and skinnier.
Oh yeah, yeah, like
buccal fat removal.
Yeah, yeah.
More like a buccal fat removal, like, BBL situation. Like, ideally,
we want this to be as seamless and beneficial for your life as getting a BBL. It's like a BBL for the brain, actually, Brazilian brain lift.
this kind of gift.
If you're hiring Neuralink marketing team, we're here for you. Yeah. So, and yes, the big pitch for Neuralink is that having all these like ultra thin threads that you can sort of plug into the human brain in a relatively but still kind of intrusive way.
Yeah, well, you can reverse it.
It's reversible, blah, blah, blah. Because, you know, it does come down to the fact that no matter what, I mean, look how hard it is for people to accept VR. Like Apple, Meta, PlayStation, everyone's throwing their everything at the VR wall and people are still a bit like, it's a bit weird.
Yeah, like I'm not, why do I want this?
I don't want to put the fucking goggles on. I don't want to wear them in public.
Yeah.
And imagine that, but being like, you need to go to like a surgeon. And get some electrodes planted in your brain for
so you can control the mouse with your head. This is what I want to get to. Like, obviously, okay. Controlling a mouse with your brain is not the end goal here.
No.
One would hope.
No.
I haven't looked at the deck, but...
No, they do. They want to get rid of all that mediation. The idea being that I can just think about something happening, my computer will do it.
Yeah, yeah. And it just happens. I think about catching an Uber and, you know, the Uber appears.
Yeah, I'd love an Uber in 5 minutes and then the Uber shows up.
And, I mean, you can use your imagination, I suppose, to kind of work out why this would be good. And another thing literally that Elon Musk says is, and as we said, the product's called telepathy, this first one, is that you can communicate brain to brain telepathically. I don't know if I want that. And, like, we're talking about maybe one day in many, many decades' time, I will be able to sit across from you, James, and just like telepathically send you a message as opposed to saying it aloud with my mouth. And I don't know, but I feel like my mouth does a pretty good job.
The human mouth is wonderful. It's almost as good as a thumb, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah.
When you really boil it down, when you think like, what are the two things that really make a human?
Thumbs and mouth.
Like, let's be language and like the ability to peel a banana.
they've really made it exactly. Everything else has come forth from that.
No, but like honestly, as yet, okay. Many problems with like maybe I'm thinking too little with regards to like I could say something aloud to you, but like I'll telepathically say it. And I do get that there might be situations if you're at an art gallery and someone is clowning about, like a stranger is clowning, you might want to be like, Otway is the O-gay with Isthay I-gay, you know, or whatever.
He'd be like at the pub being like, 3 o'clock, look at that guy, look at what's on that guy's shirt.
I do get there's some utile value in like telepathically sending that message.
Exactly.
But probably not enough for me to get like wires in my brain. But I assume the idea is like, if I have a concept in my head, I can just like...
translate, yeah. I mean, I do think the way that they're thinking about this stuff is, even though there's some flashy kind of ways of thinking about it of like, oh, you and I can have a telepathic conversation, mm-hmm. hence why they call it telepathy. But I feel like the idea is that the fact that we even have to like type stuff in on a keyboard, click on it,
yeah,
tap
look
on
at
it,
a screen.
Look
yeah.
at a screen, interpret the data, reinterpret
what
it.
What is the most frictionless way to interact with technology?
All of that is friction. Yeah. And at some hypothetical point 30 years in the future, we should be able to just think about just vaguely the idea. You know, I can see the vision where it's like you've got this fucking Frankenstein implant in the back of like the base of your skull and you're kind of like, shit, I need to book a doctor appointment and my rego is due and I also... how many people will be coming over on Saturday? And then like the AI assistant that your Neuralink is connected to figures out everything you were just thinking about.
And just beams it
and
out.
Just beams, and just does it all for you with AI agents or some shit.
Yeah.
Again, I'm
you
like...
You don't even need to say it with your voice. Or like...
Or even think about it properly. Or I don't know, like...
I guess, yeah. And yeah, things just happen kind of for you. Or slash... if you've got a really amazing concept for a business, and I actually think this is probably a lot of like what goes into these meetings, instead of me having to make a deck and explain the total addressable market and like explain to you in words and like images on a slide, on a PowerPoint, I can just beam you my vision.
Yeah.
And you just like get it.
Yeah.
And we have this kind of like vibe. It's a vibe. It's a vibe.
It's very vibes-based. And yeah, I mean, in any case, any of these blue sky ideas are... and. Feel free to track this and remind me in how many years.
Yeah, just send your vibes telepathically to James.
Exactly. These are obviously so far off, but, you know, Elon is very good at showmanship.
Yeah.
Like, historically, he's been quite good at getting people rallied around an idea that sounds kind of crazy, and then maybe he's able to execute, maybe he's not, but he certainly brings an insane amount of attention to it and investment and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, we're talking about it.
That's his core talent. Plus the fact there's obviously a mystique to it. People kind of like, well, people see that idea and they're either like viscerally disgusted by it or they think it's the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And that kind of shit gets attention, right? You know.
Neuralink, I think my issue with it is just like there's that bridge. And I guess we've talked about this with like VR and autonomous driving for that matter as well. But this is even bigger. It's like somehow... you've got to find it useful enough to get brain implants, which, yes, if you have like lost the use of your arms or whatever, then it is, right? Like that's like if this product allows you to interface with a computer that you couldn't previously, the bloke who is addicted to Civ 4 and gaming, who was playing chess with his mind, was like, I previously played Civ 4 with my parents and I'd just tell them what to do. Like I'd tell them how to interact with the computer on my behalf. I no longer have to do this, hence why he played Civ 4 for 16 hours straight or whatever as soon as he worked out how to use the Neuralink. Okay, cool. That obviously has a bunch of value for him and for that market. Then, but at some point you've got to get to like, it's useful enough and there's going to be those like insane innovators who are like, no, plug me in immediately so that I can, I guess, like, talk to Siri with my brain or the equivalent, right? Like it's some kind of like interface.
The early adopters.
Like that, it has to be compelling enough from getting from basically controlling a mouse slash maybe control, you know, the early version is basically going to have to be controlling something that interfaces with computers like we do now. Maybe with an LLM, which will kind of help, perhaps. But I don't think you can, like... it seems to me like there's a long way until we can start imagining a word and the word appearing, you know, let alone like...
oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's what I'm saying. So like, how do they get from here to there? And maybe they will. Maybe they will one day.
And well, the other part is that the current systems as they exist require like extensive training. So the idea is that like you need to be able to, in the same way as you teach someone to use like one of those insane like court scribe keyboards, you know, those ones that use like the combination of... levers rather than a keyboard, but once you know how to use it, it's like nine times faster than keyboard. That's basically what you have to do with current brain computer interfaces. Yeah. It's like, oh, you can't think of it like that. You need to like picture this or think about it in this weird sort of unintuitive way that will definitely trigger this part of your brain hemisphere that causes this particular action to happen, which is a fair way away from I think of something and it happens.
Yes.
So you really need to force
yourself. Literally just basically talking about like moving a cursor on like an XY grid.
Yeah.
Like up, 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 right, right, right.
And then,
that's basically it.
And Neuralink's in the perfect position with this one guy that they've been working with because, to be clear, and the reason we had that cold open this episode is that Neuralink FDA approval to do human testing relatively recently, as in like in the past 12 to 18 months. Before that, they were experimenting on animals, pigs, and then monkeys.
Mm.
And there's been a lot of reporting and public discourse about the fact that those monkeys were not having a chill one.
No, they weren't just hanging out.
Neuralink insisted that it wasn't that bad for the monkeys, but a few other places, including universities they partnered with, kind of like was kind of fucked up for those monkeys.
We've had upwards of a dozen dead monkeys at the minimum.
We're cutting. Well, you know, at the end
allegedly,
of the day,
allegedly,
but at the end of the day, they're cutting open monkeys' heads to ram electrodes in there with experimental technology. But in any case, they have this human test subject who's come out and been part of this huge PR push, but they've had the glory and help of being able to work with one guy and be like, they've installed this chip into his brain and then be like, think about whatever. Like, think about X, okay? When this guy specifically thinks about this thing, this part of his brain lights up.
So
then they can build the system around that and be like, hey, buddy, think about and your cursor will go down. Think about this and your cursor will go up.
Yeah.
And who knows how universalizable that is.
Yeah. I mean, it just is a long, long, long way off. But as you say, Elon Musk is fantastic at getting these media opportunities where you see this bloke playing, which is sick. Like, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great.
It's cool. It's very cool. That
brain-computer interfaces, regardless of how rudimentary they are, they're cool.
Yeah. Absolutely cool. And, you know, get $500 million in funding, et cetera, et cetera. But, like, it just feels like we're so astronomically... I don't know if Elon Musk will be alive when fully able-bodied people are getting it because they actually see some like benefit above using your voice or using your fingers, using the thumb and the voice. Do you know what I mean? Like for it to be more useful than using my fingers, I think you have to be much like VR in a different paradigm. Like if we clicked our fingers today and everyone was working in the metaverse and blah, 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 it would work. If we clicked our fingers today and every single car was an autonomous vehicle and there was no more human drivers, it would work. Like, I mean, this wouldn't work right now, but like I can see in kind of 20, 30 years time, if you're like, okay, if like we clicked our fingers and all of our actual computers and interfaces like weren't based around like finger input and voice input, then like, this would work, but I'm struggling even with my vivid imagination to like
it is vivid, yeah.
To find the jump.
Well, it's all, yeah, I agree, and it's also Elon has said on Twitter or X, and again, you take this with a grain of salt, but they talk about telepathy is their first product, quote unquote, from Neuralink, where you can make commands with your mind and communicate information and data and interface with a computer system. But he also said in a random reply to someone, which I'll drop in the show notes. He was like talking about their next product, which is called Blindsight, with the idea being that it feeds visual data back to someone who can't see and projects it into their perception, whatever, so that they can see. He made the claim that it works on some of their animal test subjects. No idea how they're verifying that.
Asking a monkey, like, eat the... like.
Did you see that shit, bro?
Exactly. It's like, if you saw that, like, have another hit of the cocaine or whatever they do to these monkeys.
Yeah, okay. Can't be good. Again, he was sort of like, you know, it's pretty rudimentary at the moment, so it's kind of like original Nintendo NES graphics. Mm. And even reading that, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, how does that... how... And, you know, I'm not a neuroscientist. I'm not a neuropsychologist, neurologist, brain surgeon...
Monkey.
Oh, I don't know. That's up in the air. But I'm like, how is that working? Mm. Like, what by what mechanism does that work? That seems like an extraordinary leap forward from what I imagine where we're at.
Yeah, and I mean, camera that's just prodding at the brain to somehow show it images.
Producer, and he was kind of like, you know, in the future, this will provide higher fidelity than even the human eye does currently.
Yeah, sure.
And again, it's just like, I don't know, this sounds pretty moonshot to me. But
yeah, but I can also see, like, if you're now thinking from a product perspective, much like with SpaceX and whatnot, okay, our first actual product is something that we can, you know, the US spend God knows how much on healthcare, right? Like, it's, you know, yep, the second largest portion of their GDP after the military or whatever it is. Good on them. Shout outs to you guys. And while I'm at it, shout outs to, I want to reiterate, I think I said this last week, shout outs to scientists. But so, okay, right now the total addressable market for telepathy, as they call it, is anyone who is a quadriplegic, paraplegic, or, you know, non-able-bodied and would like to be able to interface with computers using their mind because they don't have many other options. Great. Now with, like, the blindness thing, it's like, okay, there's more blind people than there are probably non-able-bodied. That's a bigger market, right? There's more blind people. And so if you can start to, like, prove it out with contracts with, I guess, like, in America, I assume it's insurance companies, but, like, yeah, nice, you know, the NDIS or, you know, the equivalent or whatever, the NHS in Britain, then you're kind of like SpaceX was, like, starting to kind of build a business where you're actually generating some revenue. So you can say, like, here's our current customer base, and that will only grow over time to the point where, yeah, every single person is going to have, like, a cyberpunk 20. Well, honestly, I think a lot of this comes down to just Elon reading sci-fi, right?
I mean, yeah, a lot of this stuff does come from his sort of fixation on nerd stuff. He's the mirror to, like, Mohammed bin Salman, basically. They're both trying to actualize shit they liked in sci-fi. But the thing that it all comes back to is what I said before, which is, like, anything that requires surgery is obviously a non-starter for a mass consumer product.
Mm.
You know, that's just not going to happen. Yeah. Plus the additive factor, it's like all of a sudden at least half of the world's population is being negatively polarized against Elon Musk and whatever he's up to because, you know, he's now kind of a right-wing guy. So he's embroiled in the political stuff.
And probably around the other 50% are kind of against the whole Mark of the Beast, you know, yeah, well, like WHO or whatever.
You do run into the issue where it's like even there are a bunch of Elon Musk heads who are kind of like, I love you, Elon. I love the anti-woke stuff. I love you really bringing it to the SJWs. Still not super into the idea of sticking a microchip in my brain. I've kind of, you know, you've put me in a tough position, brother. I've spent the last little while railing against Bill Gates and the World Health Organization doing that. So for you to say to me that you want to put a microchip in my brain, it's a tough sell to me and the boys. I do get the long-term vision. I get the idea. If they can make this stuff work, and it does all come back, you know, if you want to get philosophical about it, the idea that the human brain is like a computer. We just need to figure out what the inputs and outputs are, and then we can start projecting ultra 8K porno directly into someone's frontal lobe.
I know, exactly. That's something like, just imagine, like, the hottest chick and then just, like, beaming it to your mate. Be like, imagine a chick and, like, she looked like this, you know, like, she's an elf, and, you know, she's so, like, she's really tall and she's got just huge tits. You know? She's like an elf ears, yeah, yeah, you know.
And both of you,
bow and arrow.
Both of you pay, like, $130,000 each to be able to do that. So I get the vision, and also I get the claim, the fundamental one, where it's like every sort of computer interface or any interface, you know, those nice silky buttons that on a hi-fi system.
Oh, don't get me started.
No, we've been through this. We love silky buttons. Oof.
Yeah,
clicks in
physical input devices,
and it goes a bit of like
with like a it's concave with a satin finish, and you know,
and when it's in, you can twist it as well, and it just glides. Maybe it glides with a little like minute click.
Yeah. But you feel it. It's almost like you hear it, but you don't hear it. You just feel it.
You feel it. It's pure haptics. It comes through you and resonates with your soul.
Mm. Or like the little metal flick switches, like.
Yep.
They almost, no, I wouldn't say violently, but they just very self-assuredly just click up, bang.
Yeah.
Flick it down, bang.
Or even the ones that are just like, again, I'm talking hi-fi systems or whatever, which are just like a real heavy switch that, like, it feels like a whole fucking universe has turned.
Boom.
It thunks.
Yeah, it thunks.
It thunks, but satisfyingly. Anyway, that kind of stuff, if you're, sorry, allow us to go on an audit.
I guess we're...
Mechanical interaction.
Yeah, we're getting old, James. We're getting old.
There's not many of those anymore. Just little greasy touch screens. But yeah, everything from the lovely tactile buttons all the way up to the greasy touch screens or voice control Siri. I'm empathetic to the idea that all this stuff is just like unnecessary friction. And if we could just do brain to computer interface, that's the ideal form. But it's also like, I don't know.
To what end?
To what end? We got a good deal. We got a good thing going.
Because as soon as I think, and this is maybe why my silly small human brain cannot conceive, like, because immediately, obviously, any way we interact right now, it's like, I was like, okay, I guess I could just fill a spreadsheet with my mind. It's like, well, obviously, you wouldn't need spreadsheets.
Well, that's the thing. You would need to rewrite the entire interface of, like, not even just how computers work on a graphical level. Mm. Like, oh, here's a button. But like our entire way of thinking about computers from the ground up.
Yeah.
What is storage? How does storage work? What's the paradigm for like files and access?
Yeah.
And how is data organized? You would think that if we had an actual brain computer interface that worked and wasn't just like a rudimentary mapping of certain thoughts to like broadly certain actions, that you would need to rethink the entire way that information systems work.
Yeah.
Would be my take.
So are you, maybe we've discussed it before, I'm one of these people who I don't like visualize, like when I think of...
You can't picture the red apple?
Yeah, I can't picture the red apple. I haven't in a monologue. I think that makes you a midwit or something on Twitter they've been saying. I don't know.
In what? Monochrome?
No, having an inner monologue.
Oh, you've got the...
Like as in the words, like I hear the voice in my head. No, but you know what I mean? Like I have an inner monologue. I have that going on. That's normal, right? That's normal.
Yeah. No, I actually... This is getting into philosophy, but I tend to think that there may be, and I'm sure there is some difference in how people like think about their own conscious experience, right? Mm. There would have to be because it's such a subjective,
nebulous,
and complicated
concept,
thing. Yeah. But I also think that people being like, I don't have an internal monologue or I can't pitch things at all, it's more a problem of like their own description of their own thoughts rather than an actual measurable difference in how they experience the world.
Well, yeah, you say that, but I don't. When I ask people, like, can you picture something, they're like, yeah, I got it. I've got, like, an apple in my head. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe my vague concept of an apple is what you're thinking, but, like,
yeah, cause
I just want it to be realer.
If I picture, like, I'm picturing right now a shiny, glistening red apple rotating in space, I don't fucking see it in front of my face, but, the perception is there, right? And if only I had a fucking Neuralink.
Maybe you're right.
And they can actually put it.
I think it's that society is overstating what they mean when they say, like, oh, I'm visualizing this.
I think so too.
I don't think they're visualizing shit. I think they're just like vaguely remembering a concept.
I think they're lying to you to upset you.
No, I buy into your theory, but I just think the world is full of liars. And you know what? It's proven once again. That was before we got to the visualizing an apple.
Okay, this is what we've concluded after talking about Neuralink for a little while, is that everyone is trying to deceive you. Trust only yourself. Hey, Raf.
Hey, James.
Did you know that you can get an extra episode of Down Round every single week on top of the one that you're already getting?
Yeah, I knew that.
Well, yeah, obviously you know, but the person is... I'm using you as a vessel to explain.
Sorry, as I'm the listener. No, go on, tell me more, James. How much does it cost?
A mere $7 a month, Raf.
Okay, where do I go to find out more about this?
You go to downround.net.
Okay, I want it.
Well, I'm sure you do.
I feel like I'm missing out by not having it.
Exactly. No ads. Second episode per week, and a few other little goodies that are coming down the pipeline as well. Head to downround.net.
Downround.net.
And sign up to Downround Premium.